putting his hand on his side and wincing.
"Keep an eye on those Kisatori,"
he said solemnly. Galen chuckled.
"Yes, soldier."
Theron nodded again and sighed, like he could finally relax without me to protect. Galen led me toward the communes, to one of the first buildings that had men running in and out of it. I could see the oculus, now no more than a spire. The whole top had fallen off. This building seemed to be the primary military space, and the wide hall that was probably used for meals had been cleared, with sheets serving to section areas off. We walked through it briefly, only to go out another door. But I saw so many men wounded or dying. Beyond that, there was a long hallway of sleeping quarters, barracks like the one we had been in when all this started, and then giving way to what I guessed were officers' quarters. Galen led me into one, and a Kisator dressed in black robes was there, poring over a tray of instruments. I gasped. He turned, bowing to me. It was not the same man from earlier, but it didn't change how little I wanted to be in this room.
"Fear not, my queen. My art is not intended to harm you."
Galen put his arms behind his back, looking at me. I stayed still, not believing him. Whether he knew it or not, his art was certainly intended to harm people like me.
"Please remove the blankets and your clothing, my queen,"
the Kisator said. "No," I said immediately.
"I need to examine you,"
the Kisator said.
"It will be difficult if you are clothed."
"No," I repeated again, raising my chin. "I don't want your ministrations. I saw what your work involves."
"Shalia,"
Galen said gently,
"I'm not going anywhere. We need to be sure you aren't injured."
"I'm fine."
"Many people don't feel the pain of their injuries immediately,"
he told me.
"You need to be checked."
My hands were shaking badly. "Not by him. I won't, Galen," I swore. I cast about, pointing at the small mirror. "Give me a moment, and I will check myself with the mirror."
"My queen, people fear only what they do not know. I promise I will not do you harm."
Galen's eyes snagged on my outstretched, shaking hand, and I saw muscles in his jaw tense and flare.
"Very well. Leave us, Kisator."
The man sighed, but he left, leaving his tools behind.
"I will wait outside,"
Galen told me.
"If something needs attention, knock on the door and I will help you."
He left, and I heaved a breath as the door shut. The longer I stayed still, the shakier and weaker my body felt, and I sat on the bed. There was a pile of things, a blanket, a sheet, a pair of pants, a long shirt, and a stiff black coat. With a shiver, I took my clothes off, using the mirror to check the places I could not see. There was an angry scratch on my leg, and I found poultice and bandages in the Kisator's belongings and applied them. There was another wound high up on my side. I applied the poultice, but it fell off before I could get the bandage on. Frustration curling through me, I pulled on the pants and the shirt, going to the door and knocking. Galen entered, and his eyes ran over me.
"Well?"
he asked. "Where is Calyx?" I demanded. He looked away.
"Not here."
"Then get him!" I demanded. "I need my husband, and I will not accept the help of those murderers," I told him.
"You're wounded,"
he realized. "I need Calyx, Galen. Please." He drew a deep breath and nodded sharply.
"I'll bring him to you then."
I closed the door and went back to the bed, sitting, wrapping myself in the blanket as I shivered with cold. It was a long while before the door opened again. And when it did, Calix strode in, shutting it sharply behind him. I looked up at him, and he put his hands on his hips, staring at me.
What is it, wife?
The shivering gave way to shaking. What is it? I repeated.
Yes. What could you possibly want from your evil, cruel husband?
My gaze fell to the ground as I shook my head. Skies, I said. I was worried about you. I thought perhaps you'd be worried about me, too.
Yes,
he clipped out.
Galen said you're hurt. Was that some gambit to get me here so you could reproach me again?
I can't dress the wound, I told him bitterly. But clearly I should have asked someone else to do it instead of you. You seemed rather particular about people seeing me undressed, but I suppose I shouldn't have bothered you.
Where is it?
He demanded. I pushed the blanket off, pulling the shirt up to reveal it. There are bandages and a poultice over there, I said, and looked at his face. His jaw was working and rolling, and his face was flushed with color, like he was fighting against himself. He went stiffly to the table, taking the supplies he needed. He sat beside me, and I flinched when he touched the poultice to the wound. Quickly, he covered the wound with the bandage, wrapping it around me to keep it in place.
Done,
he said quietly, tugging the shirt down over it. I didn't move, facing away from him, unsure of what to do.
Of course I was worried about you,
he said, the words low and sharp.
I saw the Oculus fall, and I thought you had died still hating me.
You weren't with me, I whispered.
You didn't want me with you,
he sneered. I pulled away from him so I could wrap myself in the blanket instead. Fine. I'm sorry I bothered you.
Three hells, Shalia,
he snapped, standing.
I can't stand you looking at me and thinking I'm some kind of monster.
I looked at him as he paced about the small room. Then release those people in your prison. Let them go.
How can you say that? You were nearly murdered by some pirates navigating a ship in the air. Do you think that's not sorcery? If I had the elixir, you would have never been in danger. Now, more than ever, I will do everything I can to prevent this infection from spreading.
Then focus your efforts on the desert. Consult that book you told me of, with the visions. See if there is more information in there. And perhaps I could find a way to examine it as well, and discover what secrets it held of the desert and this elixir, before my husband did something I would regret.
Impossible, he said, waving his hand. The book was destroyed.
Destroyed?
Yes, he said. Along with the Trivetis, who had the visions in the first place. His visions were sorcery. But I'm sending Danae to the desert to uncover its secrets. If anyone can find this elixir, it will be her.
Then stop persecuting people here.
I cannot,
he snapped.
We caught one of the pirates, and she will be made an example of when we're through interrogating her.
Why?
So my people see that we respond to such sorcery decisively. They killed almost 100 soldiers, and more workers besides. She cannot be allowed to live.
I shuddered as I realized why he had been so occupied, and what it meant that he was interrogating her. If the others on that ship were any indication, she was probably just a girl, and they were torturing her. But I knew he needed a better reason to spare her. So you would have your people see that one woman caused so much destruction? You would be aggrandizing the very power you're trying to stop. He glared at me, and my heart pounded.
You think I should what? Let her go? She committed treason, and she will answer for her crimes.
Fine, I said, standing too. But privately, don't make a spectacle of it. Give her a fair trial and help the country move on. He came to me, staring at me for many moments before sliding his hand over my cheek.
It's a good suggestion. And what about you, wife? What spectacle, what trial do you need to move on?
His fingers stroked my skin.
I can't ask you to forgive what you know of me. But can you stop hating me? Or will you keep turning to my brother, crying in his arms?
My breath caught. He laughed, his hand still on my face.
You thought I wouldn't find out.
There's nothing to find out, Calix. I was upset, and he was there when I didn't have my own brother to comfort me. Even as I said it, the idea of comparing Galen and Kairos felt false. However I thought of Galen, it wasn't like my brother.
I took Calix's hand from my face, holding it.
I need to know you still have compassion, Calix. I need to know you're still a good man, despite everything I know of the past. Stop torturing the Elemente, and that will go a long way in proving it to me.
I don't have to, you know,
he told me, his voice soft and his face close.
It changes little, whether you hate me or not. We'll still be married. You will still be my queen and mother of my children.
I looked away from him. I knew that, too. My threats, such as they were hollow and empty.
But I don't want that, Shalia. I don't want our children to have parents who hate each other. I want your care, and I want your esteem.
A hopeful breath filled my chest as I met his eyes.
I can't let them go completely. The powers are illegal and confirmed. But I will halt the experiments on them. Does that please you?
And you won't experiment on any others? I asked warily.
No,
he said. My fingers curled around his, and I nodded. Yes, that pleases me a great deal, Calix.
Good,
he told me, moving forward for a kiss. I accepted it, hugging him and instantly missing the gentle comfort of Galen's embrace.
I'm sure you're tired,
he told me, pulling back and holding my hands.
But I want you out of this city as soon as possible. The rest of your sapia have arrived. I'd like for you to leave with them now, and I'll follow as soon as my business here is done.
I don't think I could weather another boat, I told him honestly. He nodded.
I'll get a carriage to take you the land route. The trip will take a few days.
That's all right, I said. I'd prefer it. Galen will stay here with you, I assume? His hands on mine tightened.
I know that there were other things at play, and bigger issues between us. But hearing of you in his arms, it burned me, wife.
Calix, nothing...
It's not a discussion,
he told me.
There is work he can do here for a few weeks or longer. He will stay here, and we will return to the Tri-Castles. And I will not hear his name on your lips again. Are you ready to leave?
I nodded, and he let one of my hands go to bring me to the door, opening it. Galen was outside, his arms crossed, watching the door from the other side of the hall.
Is everything ready?
Calix asked. Galen bowed his head.
The Sapia are prepared to escort the Queen. We need a carriage.
Galen gave a nod.
It will take a few moments to procure. Good. Meet me immediately upon her departure. I'll leave you here, wife.
Calix told me, catching my chin and kissing me again. He paused for a moment and pressed another kiss to my mouth before letting me go. Be safe, I told him. You too. He let go of me, and Galen gestured me back toward the large hall. Galen glanced at me once, but I looked away. Calyx was already punishing him for comforting me, and I did not want to make an issue of it, or to add anything more to his sentence. I first noticed Zeph's arrival when I saw men practically jumping to clear a path for him. He was stone-faced as he strode through the hall, a giant of a man making everyone else seem little. He came to kneel to me. "Oh, Zeph, you know I hate that," I reminded him. He stood, scowling down on me.
"Yes," he said. "And when we are not in front of half the army, I will give you a very stately hug instead." "Easy, soldier," Galen told him, raising an eyebrow.
He crossed his arms.
"Don't tell me easy. Theron will have bragging rights for far too long because of this night."
I smiled. "I'll see what I can do to endanger my life when you are on duty." Zeph nodded, satisfied.
"We're leaving this damn city,"
he asked. "As soon as possible." They led me outside the hall and into the cool night, and once the door was closed, Zeph caught me up in a hug that lifted me straight off the ground. I laughed, hugging him back. "I'm all right, Zeph." He put me down with a sigh.
"From the stories I've heard already, I'm not sure how that possibly can be, but I am grateful for it." "As am I,"
said a voice behind him. My heart cracked the moment I saw him, even before I noticed Osmost wheeling above, and I started running toward him. Kairos took big, lunging steps to get to me, pulling me into a tight hug.
"Great skies,"
was the only thing he muttered into my hair as he clutched me. Tears pressed behind my eyes, but I was hugging him so hard it didn't really matter if they fell or not. They wouldn't ever be seen, ever be betrayed, always hidden between us. He let me go, looking at my cuts.
"You should try not to get in so much mortal danger," he told me.
I laughed. "You should try to be as useful as your hawk."
He raised an eyebrow. "Don't encourage him. His feathers are plenty fluffed out already." "Looks like we were both late to the fight,"
Zeph said ruefully, nodding to Kairos as he let me go, and Osmos landed on his shoulder.
"No, I infallibly appear when I'm needed most," Kairos told him. "You were late."
Zeph growled at this like an unhappy dog.
"Where's the hero of the hour?" Kairos asked. "I hear Theron fought off an army of sorcerers for my sister." "Three hells. That didn't happen, did it?"
Zeph grumped.
"All I get to do is take her for walks."
"Skies, stop wishing more danger on my head," I told him. "I thought Theron was resting. Will he join us?" Galen nodded.
"I'll let him rest a while longer and send him to catch you on horse," he told me. "If it pleases the queen."
I looked at the ruin of the tower where I had almost lost my life. "Yes, let's go back to the Tri-City." I wasn't so tired that I accepted the carriage, and without Calyx there to protest, we all left on horseback. Our pace was fairly easy and gentle, so Theron could catch up to us by the end of the first day. On the second day, Kairos and I rode close together, talking quietly while Zeph and Theron and the other guards drifted behind us, and I told him of everything I had seen in the communes and the summer palace.
"Do you think he'll really stop experimenting on them?"
Kairos asked me. I drew a breath slowly. "I don't know. Can Rian find out?" He sighed.
"I'll get word to him. Do you think you'll want to know the answer?"
"No. Yes. I had no real answer.
Which was worse, to realize that my husband lied to me, or to never know that he did?" What about this elixir?
Kairos asked. It's real, I told him. He's seen it before. He used it to attack the islands. I have to talk to Kata again. He nodded, glancing at my guards.
I'll make it happen.
Thank you, I told him. Did you ever tell Rian of that spy in his camp? I asked, looking behind me to measure the distance of the guards.
Tassos, Kairos said. I found out who he is. He's not well-placed enough to be a threat. And besides, Rian seems to suspect that the Tri-Crown has put several spies into the Resistance. They won't learn anything of value.
I nodded.
And you must forget such things, little sister. The less you know of Rian's cause, the safer you'll be.
Yes, I said. Safety is so clearly part of my daily life already. Kairos gave me a wry look, but didn't respond, and we rode on in silence. The next day we entered the City of Three, and people were waiting for us, shouting and throwing flowers in front of our horses. The delicate blooms bright and whole for a moment before the horses crushed them beneath our weight. Give up. When we reached the Tri-Castles and dismounted, I stretched with a yawn, smiling. Zeph or Theron, could we go to the mill? I'd like to see how things are faring in my absence. Zeph nodded.
I'll escort you, my queen.
Would you like to come, Kai?
Not unless you need me,
he said, dismounting and kissing my cheek. Osmost yelled, but didn't come down from the skies.
I will see you tonight.
Nodding, I glanced around for Adria. She wasn't there. And I didn't feel like I should have to call her to attend to me, so I didn't.
You don't wish to rest, my queen?
Zeph asked. I stretched my arms out and yawned. Skies, no! I'm desperate for a walk. I only wish the mill was farther away. He grinned.
You're a very strange queen.
I knew this wasn't a rebuke, so I smiled and shrugged. The stone underfoot, the fresh air in my lungs. It felt good. It wasn't enough to shake the darkness of the days in the communes from my heart, but it felt good. When we reached the mill, the ground rumbled and vibrated beneath my feet. Walking out to the back, I saw the lines moving fast, growing shorter. My effort was helping. It was doing something. I went inside, and to my surprise, I didn't see only the plain linen and cotton dresses. I saw blue and pink and silver silks, shiny hair and soft, silly slippers. The pounding stopped as the women saw me. It was Domina Thessaly and Adria beside her who first came over to me. They came forward and bowed, and the rest of the women bowed behind them.
My queen, Domina Thessaly said, welcome.
What is going on here? I asked her. She looked over her shoulder.
The women of the court would like to help ease the suffering of our people.
My breath caught. It wasn't a joke or something they were doing to mock me. I could see it on their faces. They wanted to help.
Or at the very least, they wanted to be seen helping, which, for my purposes, was much the same thing.
Thank you, I told them, pressing my hand to my heart.
I inclined my head to them, and I heard them all rush to bow at the gesture.
By all means, I said, let us continue. My heart swelled with emotion, and I felt threads running near my fingertips. I struggled to breathe slowly, trying not to disrupt them. And it occurred to me that I had to practice my abilities, or happiness here would be a very dangerous thing indeed. The next morning I had the luxury of waking alone, but instead of a husband I found a note on the floor by the balcony. Kairos told me, meet me in the garden.
I tossed the note into the fire, calling the Ishru to dress me and leaving the chamber as fast as I could. Zeph was waiting outside my door, and I smiled.
"Morning, my queen,"
he greeted me.
"Good morning. Zeph, can you take me to this garden I've heard so much about?"
"The royal garden?"
he asked. "I believe so."
He gestured forward.
"Right this way, my queen."
He led me through the castle, and then out the courtyard and down a sloping road that curled under the castle, pointing out the army's barracks and training grounds, and a road that he said led to a small beach under the cliff.
When we arrived at a thick green hedge, two guards stood by a break in it. They bowed to me.
"Why is this garden guarded?" I asked them.
"It was a favorite retreat of the former queen,"
Zeph told me softly.
"Ever since her death, the king has kept it as she wanted it."
"The king was married before?" I asked, and then realized my error.
"His mother," I murmured.
"Who cares for it?"
"There are gardeners, my queen,"
one of the guards said, dropping his head to me.
"Are they currently at work?" I asked, panic striking me.
"No, my queen. We can keep them out if you wish."
"Yes," I said.
"And Zeph, would you mind staying here?
The garden is guarded anyway, and I should like a little time alone, I think." This must have been why Kata suggested such a place. She would have known I could be here unguarded.
He hesitated, then nodded.
"Yes, my queen. I will remain here. If you need me, shout."
I turned and took a deep breath, and went into the garden. The two thick green hedges continued on inside, forming a wide pathway. It turned, and still the walkway continued. It turned again, and there it opened, onto a wide square with roses and dense beds of flowers, with a stone bench in the center. I left the square, following the hedge on the other side of it to another walkway. This one turned twice and led to a large fountain. The next room in the hedges had a line of three trees, so large and leafy that they shaded the whole space between the hedge, and their roots grew up knotted from the ground. A long, narrow fountain burbled with a bench near it, birds dashing to and fro.
"Shy,"
whispered Rian, appearing from around the hedge. I ran to him, hugging him tight.
"Rian," I yelped softly. "I thought it was Kata who sent the note."
"It was,"
he told me.
"I just wanted to come with her."
His arms pulled tighter on me.
"I heard about the communes. You could have been killed. You know that wasn't the resistance, don't you?"
"I know. I heard they were pirate traders, and I'm safe," I assured him, hugging him back.
"It is so good to see you.
But my guards are right outside. What if they catch you?"
"We're safe in here,"
he told me.
"How do you know?"
He grinned.
"This isn't my first time in the garden, Shai."
I stepped back from him.
"Who else do you meet in here? Where is Kata?"
He lifted a shoulder, glancing around.
"She's coming. I have an informant in the castle."
"Who?"
His head tilted.
"Come now, you know I can't tell you that. It's important the king never suspects you know as much as you do."
"Did Kairos tell you about the summer palace?" I asked.
His face turned grim.
"Yes. I'll find out if he's still experimenting on people. I can only imagine how frightening that was for you, Shai. But you know he kills these people, yes? Sometimes with a farce of a trial. Sometimes it's towns taking justice into their own hands and burning people, or hanging them."
I looked at my hands. "He wants everyone to hate Elemente as much as he does." He sighed.
"Is Kata right? You're an Elementa?"
I raised my eyes.
my oldest brother, my hidden ally in this hostile place. I nodded slowly.
Skies, Shalia,
he breathed, rubbing his forehead.
We need to get you out of there. We have an opportunity while he's away.
Hope fluttered up in my chest, but it didn't last. Rian, I can't leave. He'll come for me. He'll come to the desert and make our family pay.
He stood from the bench. You can't stay. He will murder you, Shai. He'll make a spectacle of your death.
I can control it, I told him. There's a reason I have this power. I know that now. I'll practice. I won't let it get out of control.
To hide it for the rest of your life?
He said bitterly.
This power is incredible. In other countries, it's worshipped. You want to pretend that it doesn't exist while you have a family with him? You want to teach your children to hate what you truly are, what Kata is?
No, I said, standing too. My children will not learn his kind of hate.
How can you prevent it?
He said.
Unless you stand against him.
I shut my eyes. It is so easy for you to say, Rian. You weren't there when Torin came back to be burned in the sands. You didn't have to see the costs of rebellion and war. You weren't there when Calix ordered more men dead because you stole his coin.
And you weren't there when he started all of this, when he killed Kata's people. And he would have killed her and me both if she hadn't stopped him.
I drew in a breath. No, I wasn't there. But why were you, Rian?
To help, he said. The Vis sent word to the desert for aid. And I took our men and answered the call.
I drew a breath. I didn't believe that Rian had somehow transgressed with Kata's sister. Did I? What about Amandana? I asked. His head tilted, surprised, but he didn't look ashamed or angry.
Amandana? Kata's sister?
Calix said he was supposed to marry her, but he saw you with her instead. That she betrayed him. He frowned, shaking his head.
Amandana?
He repeated.
She and I were friends, in a way. She and I were together before the battle, but not in the way you're suggesting, little sister. I don't know what he saw, but she didn't betray him with me.
Was that true? Did Calix wage a war on misinformation? Or would we never truly know about those days? With a heavy sigh, I rubbed my forehead. Rian, I'm worried you are blind to the price that everyone else around you is paying. There are innocent lives being lost in your resistance. His eyes were heavy as he looked at me.
No, I'm not blind to that, little sister.
Then stop. Give up the resistance. Let me work for peace.
First, it isn't mine to give up. Perhaps some see me as the figurehead, but I'm not the leader of the resistance, Shai. And second,
how? He said gently.
With women working in mills? By asking him to stop torturing a few prisoners? There are hundreds being killed. There are thousands of slaves. And now his hate is spreading. And those suspected of having powers are being killed like animals.
I shuddered, remembering how Calix refused to call the Elemente people. Remembering how quickly his heart turned from Amandana.
You're not talking about peace. You're talking about ducking your head in the sand. And if you don't see it, it doesn't exist.
Rian continued. I chose this, I told him hotly, so that others wouldn't die in my stead. I'm not leaving.
Very well,
he said.
Then I should go. I can't risk your being connected to my activities in the city.
But you'll look into the people at the Summer Palace? I asked. He nodded, but he didn't leave.
Kata said something about an elixir. A magical liquid to cancel out the elements. If she finds it. Do you want it for yourself?
He asked me.
To take away your gifts.
I sighed. I did, I said. Maybe I still do. But more than that, I don't want my husband to control it. I want to decide who has that power. He came to me, hugging me tight.
If you ever need me, tell Kairos. Osmos can find me just about anywhere. And if you need to flee, I will find a way to get you out. Understand? You're not alone in that palace.
I hugged him tight. Please be careful.
He won't be,
Kata said, and I pulled back to see her.
But I'll be cleaning up behind him, so he'll be fine.
I laughed, and Rian let me go, going deeper into the hedge, leaving me and Kata alone.
So you believe the elixir's real?
She told me, replacing Rian and hugging me tight. It is real, I told her. Sit down. She pulled back from me.
What?
It is real, because Calyx used it before, I told her softly. When he attacked the islands, it wasn't on his father's orders. It was on his. She drifted to the bench, ashen. She looked past me for a long time, her gaze not seeing me, as if she was replaying all that she knew about that day. Why would he do that? She asked. She looked up at me. He hated us so much. I sat beside her, twining our fingers together. No, I said. He was in love with your sister, Amandana. She looked stricken at her name. He thought they were going to marry, for peace. And when he came to the islands, he found out she was with someone else. He thought she tricked him. He said she was with Rian. She didn't say anything. Kata, I said, tugging her hand. She told me, Kata breathed. She told me she was going to marry. She told me he'd come for her any day now, and everything would be different when he did. He's the one she loved? I felt a tremble run through her, and I turned. Droplets of water were rising from the ground slowly, drawing the moisture away from the soil, like the earth was crying into the air. Kata, I said again. She pulled away from me. That sick, cowardly bastard. And he used this elixir to do it? To kill her? Her eyes whipped to me. He's going to do it again. She trusted him, and he killed her for it. It won't be any different with you. My hands scrabbled to hold on to hers. Kata, no. Kata, Kata, he won't. If he knows what you are, he'll kill you. I caught her hands tight. He won't get the chance. I will never trust him. This seemed to calm her a little, and she breathed, nodding. But there was a Trivatus who had visions, I told her urgently. He wrote them in a book. The book said there was more of the elixir in the desert, in a sacred place. Calyx destroyed the book, but it's the only clue he has to go on. He's sending Dene to find it, but you know the lake, at least better than she does. I think it's submerged somewhere in there. You'll be able to find it where she can't, and you have to do it before her. She nodded, and then stopped. A book, she repeated. It was meant to be burned, right? I don't know, but that sounds like a good way to destroy a book. We have it, she said. I think the resistance has it. How is that possible?
I asked. Because the Resistance has all sorts of things the king wishes didn't exist. And one of those is a large cache of books that was supposed to be burned. One of our faithful saved them.
But this was years ago, I said, before the islands.
She nodded. And this girl held on to them.
I can't be sure, but I suspect we have that book. She met my eyes.
Maybe we have a clue he doesn't.
I clutched her hands. Then find it, and get the elixir before Danae does.
What about you? She asked.
You almost died. But I didn't, I told her. Because of my power.
I won't deny it again, I swear it. I'll practice as often as I'm able.
Good, she said.
When I come back, I'll bring news of your family.
The breath rushed out of my lungs as I thought of her hugging my mother, joking with my brothers, playing tricks with water to delight Catrin. Skies, I said, nodding and fighting back the swell of emotion I felt at the thought. I look forward to that. She hugged me fiercely.
You should go, she told me. I don't want your guard suspicious.
I nodded, burying my face against her neck, and it struck me how lucky I was.
Rian told me I wasn't alone in the castle,
and though often it felt like it, he was right. There were people in the world who I trusted beyond every shadow of doubt, and Kata was one of them. I love you, I breathed into her hair.
I love you too, she said.
Hero. My husband returned later that day, but true to his promise, Galen did not.
Then word came that the Resistance had attacked the Summer Palace, and Calix demanded Galen not return until they figured out how the Resistance had discovered their operations there.
Smugly in private, he told me it would be months before I saw Galen again, and I didn't like the ache that created in my chest. I took a walk one morning, and Kairos was waiting in the courtyard.
"Morning, sister," Kairos called,
and Osmost clacked out some version of the same. Zef sighed beside me.
"Morning," I called, smiling.
"Well, if you insist, I will join you on your walk," he told me. "Where are we headed?"
"I was heading to the royal garden."
"Very well," he said. "Zef, I can escort her back to her chambers if you wish." "Just don't leave the palace without me," he said, waving us forward.
I laughed, shaking my head, as I joined Kairos, and Zef turned around.
"Can I revise our destination?"
Kai asked. I glanced back at the castle thoughtfully.
"As long as we don't leave the palace."
"We won't."
"Then certainly."
"Good,"
he said, offering his arm in the trifecta way. I took it.
"Osmost brought a letter from home,"
he told me softly. "He did?" He nodded.
"From mother and father. Kale is to be married to a Discorpios girl," he said.
"Soon?" I asked.
Traditionally, desert weddings were very fast. It was only mine that had been planned so far in advance.
His mouth turned down a little.
"It's probably already happened."
My heart ached. I didn't like to think of them living their lives when I couldn't be there with them. "Oh," I said softly.
"And Aiden is living in Jitra, courting some tri-girl over the land bridge,"
he said to me.
"Can you imagine?"
I shook my head. I can't imagine the land bridge as a thoroughfare instead of a boundary, I told him softly. "What else?"
He shook his head, and I nodded. There was so much more, of course, and I mourned the small things I would never hear about,
because they couldn't be communicated in a precious secret letter. Have you heard from Rian? We all heard that they raided the Summer Palace. He looked at me.
He said he didn't find any prisoners.
I drew a breath, nodding.
That doesn't really mean Calix kept his word, of course.
No.
But it's something, I allowed. Kairos lifted a shoulder, and I understood.
You would never approve of Calix or this marriage, and even if I needed to cling to the hope that my husband still had a shred of humanity left, he didn't.
But that's not why I came here today, he said.
It isn't?
No, he said. You need to practice.
We had just discussed our brother's treason and a secret letter from my family. And yet, at the thought of someone overhearing about my ability, I looked around us. There was no one in sight, except guards in the courtyard we were leaving behind to go down the road past the garden.
No one can hear, he whispered, and no one can know. But you still need to do it.
Nervously, I nodded. Up ahead, I could see the entrance to the garden with guards standing there, and they bowed to us as we walked past, not speaking. Kairos led me farther, under a stone archway.
That leads out from the castle to a walkway in the cliffs, he said. We'll go there next time.
The path was growing steeper, and we walked down to another stone arch with a heavy iron gate in it, and yet another guard.
My queen,
he greeted me, bowing. Kairos nodded, and I asked the guard, Please unlock the gate. He obeyed, and we walked out past a small dock with two oared crafts and onto a long rocky beach that lay in the shadow of the massive cliff the castle stood on. Far down the beach, Kairos stopped me.
Here will work,
he told me. What am I supposed to do? I asked.
Use your gift, he said. Use it the way you were always meant to. Use it so it won't control you.
It wasn't the same as the desert, but I took my soft slippers off to dig my feet into the cold gray sand, and I felt the threads leaping against my hands at the touch of so much stone. We were up on the dry part of the beach, and yet I felt the tide as if it were rushing over my skin, dragging on the rocks, taking smaller bits of sand and curling it into the gentle rolling wave in this protected cove. With a deep breath, I stretched out farther along the threads to the distant rocks that the violent ocean gnashed against.
You don't need to reshape the earth, Kairos told me, following my gaze with a smile. See what small things you can do.
I pulled the silver comb out of my pocket and held it up, curling one tine at a time and straightening them out. I've been doing this, I told him. He nodded.
Rake the sand, he said, pointing down.
I followed where he pointed and looked at the bands of color.
There was a dark line that didn't feel like rock.
Perhaps it was a shell of some kind ground up into the sand. There was glittery white, and that was rich and vibrant against my hands. The thick bands of wet gray were heavier, like they were sleeping and didn't have any interest in being woken. Sweeping my hand, I watched as the white rock pulled against itself, forming a blob and sliding up the beach. Smiling, I left it there, and then nudged at the gray sand. It was almost like it sighed against my power, and it let me move it, scooping it up the beach to join the small pile with the white sand. I saw a series of small stones in the surf, and experimentally I pushed against them.
My power felt like it ended by trying to pass through the water,
but I remembered being submerged in the communes, and I knew it wasn't quite so simple. I reached my power along the sand under the water, and I connected with the small rocks.
First one, then two, and three, they leaped out of the water.
I caught the first and second, and with a grin, Kairos caught the third before it hit my hand.
Good, he told me.
Laughing, I sprayed him with sand.
It seemed like I was getting stronger.
My power wasn't wrestling me for control. It was there for me to use, in small secret ways, and despite not having the power himself, Kairos was as good a teacher as he had always been with weapons or fighting, or even teaching Catherine how to win an argument.
I spent my days at the mill or at the Erudium, where they wanted me to preside over their consecutio, the day of contests when boys would claim they were men and fight to be eligible to join the army and pick brides. I heard of the resistance in murmurs and mentions that weren't meant for my ears. Actions here and there in the country, stealing money or crops, distributing it to the people, protecting the Elemente and building an army of them. Calyx and I had settled into being married over the past few months. I couldn't love him, knowing what he'd done, but we were peaceful together, and it felt like enough to build our future on. I had bled once, right after I returned from the communes, and though I tried to explain that my cycles had never been very regular, he didn't speak to me for days. I dreaded the day that my blood would return, and wondered if it was something he could frighten out of me. For the most part, I walked, sometimes in the royal garden, sometimes on the cliff walkway that was secluded and lovely, and made entirely of stone, which Kairos urged me to manipulate. When we went out in the city, I pressed my attendants to walk farther each day, but I still felt like something was being lost, like I would never be able to return to the long days of walking in the desert. Yet now walking served a new purpose. I had not forgotten those moments beneath the water. This power was part of me, and if nothing else, I needed to know how to use it. It might be my damnation, but it might also be my salvation, and I wouldn't know which until it was far too late. As Theron, Adria, and I left the mill one day, Adria turned to me. She had ceased to complain so much about walking, and I wondered sometimes, in moments like this, if I could ever come to consider her a friend.
Ismeni is with child,
she told me. Who is Ismeni?
Domina Abydos,
she told me.
Her husband's father is one of the higher Vestai beneath my father. She sighed. I hate her.
I laughed. That's a little stark.
I do, she said, shrugging. We were the same year in the Erudium. She was married after me. And yet, that little show-off has a baby, and I will never have one. And of course her mother is acting like the three-faced god blessed her specifically.
She rolled her eyes.
She requested an audience with you. Must I allow it?
I smiled, but my smile faded. I suppose so. But you will never have a child?
Her head turned down. No. As soon as I married, the king sent my husband to the south and demanded I stay here. My father is the most powerful Vestai, and the king doesn't want me having a child before you do. It would threaten his reign.
I watched her.
And if I have a baby? I asked.
Her shoulders lifted.
I hold little hope. I can't presume to imagine what it will take for the king to feel secure in his legacy.
Stepping closer to her, I threaded my fingers through hers and held her hand tight. Then no, she can't have an audience with me. Her fingers squeezed mine, and she gave me a small smile.
I turned forward,
saw people on the royal causeway ahead of us, and my breath caught. I was not sure why there were so many there. Theron saw it too, and put his hand on my arm.
Stay close, my queen.
He told me. I tucked close to him and pulled Adria against me, keeping our fingers together. The guards were blocking off the road, so when they saw Theron with me, they let us through to walk in the open center of the causeway. People started screaming and crying at us in delirious excitement when they saw me and realized who I was, and I flinched.
"Come quickly,"
Theron said, walking behind me, sweeping his eyes over the crowd as we hurried up the hill. We crested the hill and saw what the fuss was. A military regiment had returned, and people were cheering. The soldiers were off their horses, and I could see hands waving at the crowds, but nothing else. Theron growled at the stable boys to get the horses out of the way, but I just led him and Adria to skirt around them. That was when I saw Galen, and my breath caught, halting me for a moment. I started moving again quicker, admonishing myself. I was simply surprised. It had been months since he had been at the palace, and I hadn't expected to see him. That was all. The people began cheering louder again, and Galen looked in my direction. Our eyes met, and I felt it. Every pulse of blood in my body, the million fine strings at my fingertips. I didn't dare move. The threads were alive, stronger than I'd ever felt, sparking with heat and light and lightning. I'd been using my ability in small ways here and there, trying to learn to control it in secret. But I hadn't ever felt my power like this, so bright in my hands. Adria made the noise, and I jolted forward, walking toward my husband's brother with my chin raised, trying to summon the cold and the stillness I'd known while he was gone. He came to me and knelt, dropping his head, and everyone quieted to hear our exchange.
"My queen," he said.
I nodded to him.
"Commander, you've defended us well, but we are happy to welcome you home."
"Thank you, my queen."
"You must rise," I told him, "as our valiant hero." The people burst into cheers at this proclamation, and I started to move away as they quieted. He stood, calling out to me.
"My queen, I've heard you've been busy here as well."
I looked back at him, and his eyes made me flush. He took a step closer.
"Feeding our people, protecting our women. Perhaps it is you who should be called a hero,"
he said. "Don't be silly," I denied. But he caught my hand and kissed it. For something that Calix did so often and made me feel nothing, the radiating heat of his lips on my skin took me utterly by surprise. Warmth rushed over me, and before I could tamp the feeling down, the heat burned out of my skin and over the threads. The threads burst, and all around us, the white stone squares of the courtyard suddenly shattered beneath our feet, dissolving into sand. Adria screamed. I fell back, pulling away from Galen as I landed in the sand.
"My queen,"
Theron called, pulling me behind him like it was an attack. When my eyes found Galen, his sword was drawn, turning as he shouted orders to defend the queen. Theron hurried me inside, and I saw Calix standing on the step, his face twisted in a dark snarl. Calix met my gaze, and the threads and the power at my fingertips vanished. I didn't look back to the courtyard. I couldn't leave my room. I knew that Calix would come, and avoiding him would only make it worse. He knew. He'd seen what I was. I was sure of it. What could I do? But I still couldn't leave. I stayed on the balcony until the sun set, and then I came in from the balcony, sitting on the floor, holding myself tight and shaking. I skipped dinner, waiting for Calix to return. The door didn't open until very late. I was sitting on the bed, wrapped in a coat with my arms twined tight around my body. I had stopped shaking, but there was still something shivering deep within me.
"Wife?"
he asked. I looked up, and his face was folded in a frown.
Why are you still awake?
My heart started pounding again. Today